I would call your attention today to John chapter 9 and verse 3. I'm going to be rereading verse 3. We, of course, read it on the program yesterday. Here is in John chapter 9 is the account of a man who was born blind, and then he was healed. His eyes were opened through the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now his disciples, in verse 2, said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Jesus straightened that up very carefully and said it wasn't either one that caused this to happen. It was that the works of God might be made manifest or displayed or shown in him. Then he says in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Jesus said, now here is an occasion where I can bring glory to the name of God. This man is blind so that he can be healed. He didn't say it in those words, but this man is blind so that I can heal him, and the glory will go to God, and God's name will be lifted up. And then he says, the urgency of the hour is that I'm not going to be here forever. He said, I must do the works of him while it is day. While I'm here, while I'm alive upon this earth, before I'm crucified, I've got to do what I'm going to do while it is day, because, of course, the night cometh when no man can work. Now, he's talking about himself. He's talking about the fact that he was going to be crucified. There was going to be a time when he could not heal the sick and open the blinded eyes. There was going to be a time coming as far as his ministry in the flesh. When it ended on the cross, he was not going to be able then to open these eyes and walk up and down the shores of Galilee and in and out of Jerusalem and Judea, because he would be crucified sitting back at the right hand of God the Father. Doesn't mean that he wouldn't still have the power to heal. He has always had that, and he will remain to have that as long as there is God. Then there is the power of God, and God will forever be, so that power will be forever. Now, he said, but he was talking about himself. I'm limited. I've got just a certain number of days and time here to do this work, and I must go about doing it. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now I want you to notice, here was a man in darkness because he was blind. He couldn't see. He had never seen the light of day because he was born blind. He did not know what his mother's face looked like. He did not know what the grass looked like, the green grass. He had never seen a sheep or a goat. He had never seen a stone hut or building in his area. He had never seen a mountain, never seen a valley, never seen a river, never seen anything. And he was in darkness, and Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world, and since I've told you many times before I am the light of the world, then you look out, I can make this young fella, this man, however old he might be, I can put the light in him. I can give him the light that you have by being able to see with your eyes. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, that is a particularly interesting statement. It's made many times by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get there later on in the Gospel of John, we'll say more about it. But I'll mention it today. When Jesus died on the cross at the noon hour, everything turned totally black, totally dark. And for 3 hours, there was absolute darkness upon this earth, and such darkness that you could cut it with a knife, like the darkness down in Egypt. It was not a twilight situation. It was not an eclipse situation. It was absolute, total blackness with no light whatsoever. No moon shining through, nothing, no light whatsoever. And whenever that happened, it didn't come on gradually. It happened immediately at the noon hour. Can you not imagine those that had been listening to Jesus preach and had heard him say, I am the light of the world? Can you imagine how they felt? Particularly those religious leaders who may have thought, and I'm sure many of them did think, we have put out the light. We have put out the light. We'll never have any more light. He said, I am the light of the world, and we've put out the light. Well, now Jesus is using this expression here in this chapter because of the fact that he's going to give this man the light that he so desperately wanted and desired and needed, the light of sight to his human body. Now, he said in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ did that. Now, today we would not think that that was sanitary. We would not think that that was the way to do things. And we supposedly have learned a lot and know a lot of things. Some of us think we know more than Jesus did. But, you know, I know and you should know that we don't know more than he did. But no one in the crowd that day gave a second thought to the fact that Jesus made moisture by spitting on the ground and making clay. They knew nothing about germs in those days. Jesus did, but they didn't. And of course, as far as that's concerned, I don't think there was any germs there anyhow. But that's neither here nor there. This is just the way God chose to perform this miracle. You know, it's interesting that he did not do all miracles the same way. He did not do the same thing for every miracle. He did not touch every leper. He did not touch every person that he healed, though he did touch some of them. Some of them he just spoke to. And this one, he made clay from spittle, his own spittle. Now, the spittle did not have any power in it. It was from his human body, and it did not have any power in it. It's not like a medication that he put upon his eyes. That would be absolute stupidity to say, well, Jesus performed some sort of a miracle by spitting on the ground and changing that spit into penicillin or some sort of a sulfur drug or changing it into some sort of miracle drug, and then that drug healed his eyes. That's absolute stupidity. That spittle had absolutely no power other than the way Jesus was going to use it. It had absolutely no power of its own. It was not an ointment that did the healing, but he did anoint his eyes with the clay that he made from the spittle. All right, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now here is where faith comes in. Here Jesus tests the man's faith. And we'll deal with that for just a minute. And of course, we'll have to come back next week with the rest of the story. But he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, if this man had not believed that Jesus was God, if he had not put his faith in him, then he would have said, what kind of stupid thing is this? I can hardly see to get around, and here you want me to go walking way back over there on the other side of Jerusalem to the pool of Siloam, and there you want me to wash my eyes, and are you making fun of me? Are you trying to make some sort of laughter out of my condition? But that is not his attitude. His attitude was, this is Jesus talking. This is the man who claims to be the Son of God. Jesus had just said, I am the light of the world, and if that's the case, then he had the power to do what he was about to do. So the man went. Now that's where you get saved, my friend. You believe what Jesus said. You believe that he truly is God, the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, that he has the power to save. You trust him to save you. You put your total, complete faith in what he did for you on Calvary. And therefore, you can become a born-again child of God. And I encourage you, by all means, do that today before it's everlastingly and eternally too late. Let us help you if you need us to send you literature.